Welcome to the podcast at the Hill. You are about to hear a message from Pastor Daniel Blaylock entitled The Gift of Hope from our Advent series, Carols Reimagined.
If you have your Bible, Matthew 24 is our text this morning. Matthew 24, verses 36 to 44. Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. Christians keep time differently than the rest of the world. We do most things differently than the rest of the world. One of those things is the way we keep the calendar. Happy New Year's Day, church. You see, the way Christians keep time is Advent is the beginning of the year. And we walk with Jesus all the way through the season of Pentecost. And then we begin the ordinary time together for the second half of the year. And then we start over again. Amen. And so this morning we begin the journey of preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Why do we do this every year? Because we don't know which year will be the year. But one of these years, while we're taking this journey of walking with Jesus, one of these years, while we walk with Him on earth, He's going to interrupt us from heaven. And one of these years, while we're walking with Him like Enoch, He's going to look down at His church and say, you know, it's closer to my house than it is to your house. Why don't you just come go home with me? And like Enoch, we will be not. They will look for us and not find us, for God will take us. He always takes those who walk closely to Him. Amen. And so I invite you to join me this year as once again we begin the journey of walking with Jesus. Who knows? This may be the year that we don't finish it around this table. We may finish it around the throne in heaven. Amen. Wouldn't that be great? Would that be okay with you? Amen. That'd be great, wouldn't it? All the young people say, let me get married first, preacher. I remember that. I remember that. I wanted to get married too. Amen. Amen. I've got kids now, and I want them to do well, but as the world gets darker, I just assume them make them celebrate the next Christmas in heaven. Amen. Amen. With their mom and dad. Matthew 24, verse 36, hear the word of the Lord for this first Sunday of Advent. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. May God bless the reading of His word, and His people said, amen. Amen. This morning as we begin our Advent journey, we begin at the end rather than the beginning. We begin by preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. How do we do that? The same way they did during the Christmas story. They prepared their heart. They read the promises of God. They repented of their sin. They made sure their heart was ready for the coming of the Lord. And they waited in eager hope and anxious expectation for the Messiah to come and deliver His people and keep all of God's promises. They didn't understand what you and I understand, and that is that the coming or the advent of Jesus would come in two stages. He would come the first time to deal with sin, amen? And He would come the second time to usher in and finish consummating the kingdom that He established when He came to begin with in His first coming. And so we who live between those two comings wait in hope today for Jesus to arrive. Well, how do we do that? Well, I believe the text here today gives us some great information on how we prepare for the coming of the Lord. And whether Jesus comes this Advent season in the clouds, or whether he comes into your heart for the first time this Advent season, there's some things you've got to do in order to be ready. And this passage gives us great, great advice. Let's walk through it together. Number one, notice what Jesus teaches us here. He says, don't panic, pray. Say that with me. Don't panic, pray. This is the first thing Jesus teaches us in these words. The fact that Jesus is coming should not cause us to panic. It should cause us to be people of prayer, men and women who seek God's face. Notice back earlier in this text, chapter 24 of Matthew, in verses 4 to 8, Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Look at the next line. See that you are not troubled. Say that with me. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of sorrows. Don't you love it when Jesus starts a conversation about famine and disease and war and says, but do not let your hearts be troubled. See that it doesn't trouble you. Amen? It's like Jesus is saying, it's going to get bad down there, y'all, but don't freak out. Don't panic, Jesus says. Do not let your heart be troubled, he says as he leaves us in John 14. And here he says, see that you are not troubled by these things. These things are going to happen. For many of us, we were raised on a steady diet of fear about the Lord's return. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but most of us were, amen? In the Pentecostal and holiness tradition, the coming of Jesus was something that often caused great anxiety and fear in our hearts. Amen. I remember growing up in Mississippi, we had a church in Meridian, and about once a year we load all our kids up on the bus and we take them to Meridian to see the tribulation drama. And they had the drama. You remember that, Neil? Do you ever go? They had that big theater, and they'd show the rapture and people being left behind and planes crashing and buses crashing and people being killed and all these things. And then they followed it up with the tribulation and the mark of the beast, and they had a guillotine behind a screen and that thing would slam down and tell you they're going to cut your head off if you take the mark and miss the rapture. And then they had an 8-minute hell scene with a guy with wings on a cable that came swinging down through and threw people in the pit because they didn't know the Lord. I want to tell you, I got saved every year at the tribulation drama. Every year. I didn't miss a year. Amen? Amen. That's how it was. Some of you remember watching the old movie A Thief in the Night. You'd have a youth lock-in, and they'd pop popcorn and pizza, and then they'd show that, and you'd get heartburn real quick, wouldn't you? Because you were like, oh, man. We had a little get-together at the office the other day to celebrate a birthday, and we were all sitting around the table talking about our experience growing up, and we said, you are not a Pentecostal kid if you have not at some point in your history called Grandma because the house was empty and you were just making sure she was still there, because you knew if Grandma answered the phone, the rapture had not taken place. Amen? How many of you ever called Grandma? Amen. Be honest. You may as well. The preaching of the coming of the Lord was often a very fearful topic for many of us growing up in our history. Now, I don't want to lighten that too much, because I want to tell you something. Jesus is coming, and you can be on the right side or the wrong side of that reality, and you do need to be ready. But for the people who know the Lord Jesus, the fact that he's coming is not a fearful thing. It is a wonderful thing. It's a delightful thing. It is something that ought to bring great joy to our heart. It's not often the news that Jesus is coming that keeps us in such turmoil. It's all the other things that people keep saying are going to go along with it. Less than a year ago, televangelists marched out their books and DVD series. They fill the airwaves with gloom and doom, warning of everything from natural disasters to asteroids hitting the coastline to global nuclear crisis and complete financial collapse. I met Christians who were afraid of everything from shut down Walmart stores. Remember that? To little red stickers that were being put on mailboxes because they thought they were marking the Christians to come get us, until you saw your neighbor and realized that that red tag couldn't mean that, right? Amen. Some Christians even installed underground bunkers. They stockpiled water and Vienna sausage like Hurricane Frederick was under the Bayway Bridge. I saw one guy. Should I call his name? Yeah, I'm feeling mean. I'll call his name. Jim Baker had this program on TV where you could buy these 5-gallon buckets. Remember that? See that? Of some kind of rice mix, and you add water and heat it up, and it becomes some kind of soup, and it's supposed to feed your family for a really long time. And he was taste testing it and going, "It's good." And I was thinking, "You're lying through your teeth. That's the nastiest stuff you've ever put in your mouth. And I'm not buying 5 gallons of it." Amen. Fear. We often have lived in such fear about this idea that Jesus is coming again. Hear me today. All those books about blood moons are on the discount rack down at Ollie's, and we're still buying our food from Winn-Dixie. Amen? Amen. That's how it goes. "See that you are not troubled," Jesus says. "All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Jesus says not to be troubled. Our God is still in control. If everything they predict comes true, there's nothing you can do to change it, and worrying about it isn't going to help anyway. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they?" Jesus said. And so the first thing Jesus teaches us is, don't panic, pray. Say that with me. Don't panic, pray. What are we to pray? We're to pray what Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus taught his disciples to pray regularly these words, "Thy kingdom come." Christians are to be praying for the coming of the Lord Jesus. We are to be saying that. Christians used to greet one another on the street. They would shake hands, and they didn't say, "Hey, how are you doing?" They greeted one another on the street with the words, "Maranatha, Maranatha, he is coming, he is coming." They greeted one another, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly, Lord." That was the prayer of the church. They were often living in persecution and great turmoil, and they were anxious for the coming of the Lord. They were longing for him to arrive. "If he feeds the sparrows and clothes the lilies, he'll feed us. If he gave the children of Israel manna in the wilderness, he'll continue to take care of us, regardless of what we face. Let's join the cry of the church in all ages and say, "Thy kingdom come, Lord. Come quickly, Lord Jesus." The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive and remain will be called up to meet together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Look at the last line, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Not lock your teenagers in the basement with a scary movie and terrify one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. The fact that Jesus is coming is great news. It is wonderful news. It is exciting news. And it ought to cause our hearts to leap with joy. The truth that Christ is coming is a source of comfort to his people. Titus 2:13, he said, "This is the blessed hope of the church. For we are looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Our hope is that Jesus will come again. And so we light the first candle of Advent looking for Jesus to arrive and knowing that this could be the day or this could be the year that he comes again. It should fill us with hope, not anxiety. Amen? 2 Timothy 4:8. Paul says, "Finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing." Our attitude about Jesus coming ought to be, we love the idea. We can't wait for him to come again. We love his appearing. We long for him to come. We're not sitting in the corner terrified. We are waiting like a bridegroom, waiting for waiting for the voice of the groom at the door. Do you remember how you waited for a phone call or a love letter from your beloved? That's how the church waits on the coming of Jesus. We wait on the edge of our seat. We check the mailbox every 5 minutes. We can't wait for him to arrive because that will be a glorious day for the people of God. Amen. 1 John 2:28 says, "My little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed at his coming." We don't have to have fear at the coming of the Lord. If we'll abide in Jesus, if we'll walk in His ways and be ready for Him to come, we can be not ashamed when He comes again. I ask you today, the fact that Jesus is coming again, does it cause your heart to say, oh yes? Or does it cause your heart to sink and say, oh no, I'm not ready for that? You see, Jesus tells us we ought to pray, thy kingdom come. Pray in hope. We're not to panic in fear. We're to pray in hope. Don't panic, pray. And secondly, don't predict, proclaim. Say that with me. Don't predict, proclaim. We're not to make great predictions about the coming of the Lord. We are simply to proclaim the fact that He is coming again and that all people should be ready for His arrival. Amen? Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And apparently a select few televangelists who've got the inside scoop from somebody. Amen. No one knows the day or the hour of the Lord's coming. We do not know. We can know the season like a woman in childbirth, but we cannot know the day or the hour. Amen. Here we are. This is the word of the Lord. The most disheartening thing about the difficult times we live in today is there are many people who seem to be capitalizing off of our fears. They come and they make grandiose claims. Last year there were predictions that the rapture would take place on September 16th during the Feast of Trumpets. Then they moved the date to September the 23rd. I've heard predictions about everything from asteroids to stock market crashes, and now we've gone from four blood moons to this month's super moon, and the only thing I noticed was my kids seem to act up a little more than usual. Amen. It all seems very reminiscent of when Edgar Wisnett published 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 88. And then when he missed it in 89, he corrected his calculations and wrote On Borrowed Time. No, he published on borrowed money, I think. Amen. Lord help us. In more recent days, there was a guy named Harold Van Camping who had a radio program out of Florida, and he predicted the rapture would occur on March 22nd of 2011, and then he moved it to October the 21st of 2011. You know, I'm only 39 years old, and I've already missed the rapture five times. It's just amazing to me how this works. It's amazing. When the first disciples began to question Jesus about when He would return, He answered with these words, Acts 1:7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put under His own power." How many of you understand that means you will not know? It's not for you to know. Jesus said that. So we can stop figuring it out, and please stop buying books that you end up using as doorstops at your house. Lord help us. Concerning the times and seasons, brothers, Paul said, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come, how? As a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Why will the day of the Lord's coming not overtake us as a thief? Because we know when it is? No. But because we stay ready whenever it is. I remember the story of an old guy who used to pack up a few minutes early, and when the whistle would blow at 5 o'clock, the other guys would start scrounging and getting their stuff ready, and old Joe would pick his bag and walk out the door. You see, when lunch was done, he packed all his stuff up then and set it over by the door, and when the whistle blew, he had his bag and he was gone. And they asked Mr. Joe, when 5 o'clock whistle blew, "Mr. Joe, you gonna get ready?" He said, "I don't have to get ready. I stay ready." Stay ready. That's the message of the coming of the Lord. Don't predict when it's going to come. Don't try to figure out what you'll never be able to figure out, but live in the preparation of that. We're called to stop predicting and start proclaiming. Jesus didn't say, watch and try to figure it out. He said, watch and pray, watch and be ready. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Matthew 25 and 13. It's time we stop predicting and start proclaiming. We don't know when He comes, but we do know what we're supposed to be doing when He gets here. How many of you remember whenever your father would give you a chore or an assignment, and then he would leave for a little while? but you knew he was coming back. And when he came back, you either better be done with what he told you to do, or you better be well on your way to getting done with what he told you to do. You remember that? Jesus is coming again, and he did not leave us to panic, and he did not leave us to make predictions and sell a lot of books trying to figure out the day of his arrival. He gave us our marching orders when he left, and he said, when I leave, you are to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. You are to go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, and whenever I come again, that better be what I catch you doing. Amen. Or else there will be great trouble on our end. Matthew 20, verse 6, Jesus said, why stand ye idle in the marketplace? What if we'd taken all the money that went into making books and videos about blood moons and Shemitah cycles, and we gave it to missionaries around the world? They could have done a lot of good with that money. Amen. I'm sure those guys are repentant now, and they'll be cutting a check any day. I can just imagine. Jesus left us with our marching orders. The Great Commission is our job assignment. The verses we read just following this morning's text tell us very plainly, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the master made ruler over his house to give him food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. We are to be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus until Jesus comes again. Our job assignment is to be ready for the coming of the Lord and to be making other people ready for the coming of the Lord. If we really believe that Jesus is coming, if we really believe in the suddenness of his coming, if we really believe in the seriousness of his coming, we will not be packing our pantries down with supplies. We will be talking to our relatives. We will be sharing with our co-workers. We will be urging the people around us who are not ready for the coming of the Lord to meet Jesus, to give their heart and life to Christ, to repent of their sin, to believe on him. We prove that we're ready not by panicking. We prove that we believe this not by predicting, but by proclaiming the coming of the Lord and by praying that we will be ready and that others will be ready too. The first coming of Jesus was good news for the world. The choir sang this morning, good Christian men, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Now ye need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Christ was born to save. That's the message we are to proclaim today. The news that Jesus is coming is good news. No wonder the church used to always sing during Advent, and we'll sing it in a couple Sundays. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the grounds. He comes to make his blessing flow far as the curse is found. No wonder Charles Wesley wrote the words we sang today. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee. That's the prayer of the church. That's the message that we proclaim. Get ready. Jesus is coming again. He's the desire of every nation, the longing of every heart. Jesus, who came as the suffering servant, will return as the reigning Lord. He will set right everything that's wrong in the world. He'll reverse the curse of sickness and death. He will banish sorrow and sin forever. And our response is not to be fearful. It is not to try to predict and figure it out. It is to pour out of the building during Advent and to do what the songwriter said. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. Declare the good news. Proclaim his salvation to everyone far and wide. The angels told the shepherds, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Amen? Jesus is coming. It's not an oh no, it's an oh yes. He's coming. Don't panic, pray, and don't predict, proclaim. We are to use this season between his first coming and his second coming to fulfill our job assignment of taking the gospel to the nations, from our family to families all over the world. Amen? That's what we're called to do. So Jesus is coming. So don't panic, pray. Don't predict, proclaim. And lastly, don't procrastinate, prepare. Say that with me. Don't procrastinate, prepare. We are to get ready for the coming of the Lord. We're to make our hearts ready. Why? Notice what Jesus said about it. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. What is he saying here? He's saying life went on as normal. They were enjoying everyday life. There was no great warning before the flood came. No great warning. What were they doing? They were doing what they did every other day. They were eating and drinking. They were shopping and buying. They were buying and selling. They were planning weddings and getting married. They were going through the ordinary processes of everyday life. And they did not know until the day that Noah entered the ark and God shut the door. And that was the end of that day. But what had been happening? What had been happening was this. For 120 years, a man named Noah had been doing two things. He'd been building a boat, and he'd been preaching a message. He'd been building a boat, and he'd been proclaiming. He'd been preparing and proclaiming during that season. And they laughed at him and mocked him because for year after year after year, he prepared and he proclaimed. And they said, "You're a foolish man. Nothing like this has ever happened. The world has never been flooded. It had never even rained before." But suddenly there came a day when God told Noah and his family, "Go into the boat," and God shut the door. And the day of preparation was over, and the day of proclamation was over. And the Bible says the rain began to fall, and the fountains of the deep opened up, and God destroyed the wickedness of mankind on the face of the earth, and he spared Noah and his family, and they found grace and favor in the sight of the Lord. What? God didn't send him a warning? He didn't send an angel from heaven? Yes, he sent a faithful man named Noah who prepared and proclaimed. What does the world have today to get ready for the coming of the Lord? They've got the Church of Jesus. Here we are, and what are we doing? We're preparing our own hearts, and we're proclaiming the message. Jesus is coming again. Don't expect there to be some great wake-up call. Don't expect there to be some great announcement from heaven. Don't expect there to be some big thing that's going to clue you in so you can get ready at the last minute. Well, I'm just waiting on something major to happen, and then I'm going to get right with God. The next major thing that may happen may be the trumpet sounding. There's no warning. The warning is what you're getting right now. This is the warning. Consider yourself warned. Jesus is coming again. And there'll be no great announcement. Notice this is what Jesus, I didn't say this, Jesus said this himself, as it was in the days of Noah. In that day, two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. He's coming as a thief in the night. Be ready. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Don't wait for some other day. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. This was the message of John the Baptist before Jesus showed up on the scene the first time. John the Baptist stepped up and said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." Say that with me. Prepare the way of the Lord. He announced to them, the Messiah's coming. He's on his way. And he said, and when he comes, he'll come to judge. His fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge his floor. He will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and fire. The chaff he will burn up, and the wheat he will sweep into the garner to be kept safely. John the Baptist preached it, and Jesus came today. I want to tell you today, the church has the ministry of John the Baptist. We're proclaiming and preparing. Get ready. Jesus is coming, and it could be at the door. You see, if we're not careful, me urging you not to panic because no one knows the day or the hour, if we're not careful, it can make us lazy. Well, that's not the point either. The point of the message is not to be lazy. We're called to be ready. I didn't come to rock us asleep or to tell you to be at ease in Zion today. The truth is Jesus could come before I finish the sermon this morning. He's coming as a thief. We're warned that in such an hour as we think not, he will arrive. Matthew 25 says the cry went out at midnight while people were asleep and not expecting. Jesus didn't tell us to relax. Jesus didn't tell us to panic either. Jesus said, "Watch and pray." That's what Jesus said. Watch and pray. Now you may be wondering why Advent begins with a message like this. Pastor, what on earth does this have to do with Christmas? Well, it's a crisis moment. This beginning of the Advent season, say a crisis. In the Chinese language, the word crisis is written by putting two symbols together, danger and opportunity. And you put those words together and you get the Chinese word crisis. Whenever you have a crisis, there's a danger, but there's also an opportunity. When the stock market fell the other day, lots of people saw danger and they jumped out. Other people who knew it would rebound saw an opportunity and they bought low and rode it back up high. It was a crisis. You have to seize the opportunity, but you have to know about the danger. The danger of the coming of the Lord is this, because like most people in Israel, when Jesus arrived as a baby in Bethlehem, there's a great danger that we could be found unprepared for His arrival. So there's a danger. But there's also an opportunity here, because like the few people who were ready when Jesus showed up the first time, we can prepare our hearts for His second coming. We are in the season now when we're called to prepare the way of the Lord. Let every heart prepare Him room. That's what we do during Advent. We get our hearts ready. We check ourselves to make sure we are ready for the coming of the Lord. Let's join the people of God down through the ages in this holy season. If He returns before the Christmas season ends, may He find us neither gloomy and fearful nor lazy and complacent. May He find us working and watching and waiting with joy in our heart, like our first parent Adam waited with Eve for the coming of the Deliverer. May He find us waiting for Him to come again, like the first patriarch Abraham waited with Sarah for that descendant who'd bless the nations, like the first prophets waited with Israel for the promised Redeemer, like God's people waited with Simeon and Anna for the arrival of the Holy One. Let us wait in hope. This holy season, we say, let every heart prepare Him room. My prayer during this Christmas season, during this Advent season, is often taken from the third verse of the great old Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. This is my prayer during Advent every year. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. That's the prayer of the people of God. Lord, let us be ready. Cast out our sin. Come live in us. Abide in us. Make us right and ready for the coming of the Lord. Most of the world will miss the real meaning and the joy of Christmas. Most Christians will too. And we will unless we slow down. Say slow down. I'm here today to be your friendly Alabama Highway Patrol officer and to give you a ticket and say slow down during Christmas. This is a warning. You'll miss it if you don't slow down. We can get so caught up in the hustle and bustle and the busyness and the decorating of trees and the buying of gifts and the sending of cards and the planning of parties that the whole thing just blows right by us and we miss the meaning and the joy of the season. Advent is here to help us not do that. It's here to slow us down. Friends, slow down. Deck your Christmas tree in the symbols of your faith. Light candles of hope, peace, joy, and love on your dining table. Sit quietly in front of the manger scene in the firelight and imagine yourself being each one of those characters. Take one every night and imagine what it must have been like to be in their shoes whenever they received the news of Jesus coming. Don't be caught off guard like the innkeeper of Bethlehem. Prepare room for your Savior in your schedule, in your heart, in your life this season. I challenge you for the next 4 weeks, slow down. Open your Bible and open your hearts. Let the preaching of the prophets convict you. Let their promises comfort you. Repent of your sins. Rejoice in your Savior. This is what Advent means. And so we close with this verse from 1 John again. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Church, that's the goal of Advent in one verse. The goal of Advent is that should Jesus come this season, we would not be ashamed. But on the other hand, we would be confident when He comes. Confident of what? Confident that we're ready. Confident that we're prepared. Confident that we are one of His faithful people that He will be delighted to welcome into His fold when He comes again. Are you confident today? That's my question for you. Are you confident that you're ready for the coming of the Lord? If Jesus were to pierce the sky today, if Jesus were to arrive on the scene today, would you be ready for that? If the trumpet were to sound, would you be ready? If the rapture were today, would you be calling grandma's house? Or would you be rejoicing with the saints on the streets of glory? If Jesus came today, what if today was the judgment? What if you stood before Jesus today? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know about that. Listen, just because he doesn't come for the rest of us doesn't mean he won't come for you. You see, some of us face Jesus one by one in the hour of our death. How do you know? Are you ready for that? Are you ready? You're not ready to live unless you're prepared to die. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Are you ready to face him in that last moment? Do you know there are twice as many prophecies about the second coming of Jesus as there were about the first coming of Jesus? If Jesus came the first time and kept those promises, don't you know he's going to keep twice as many promises? Church, he's coming again. It really is true. Jesus is coming, and it could be any day. Christ's return doesn't have to be a source of fear or dread or anxiety. We can have confidence and be unashamed before him at his coming. Pastor, how do I do that? Turn away from your life of sin and self-centeredness. Get over the idea that this life is all about you having a great time. Cry out to God for his mercy. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Trust that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for your sins. And he bought your pardon that day. Surrender your life to Jesus and begin learning how to follow him by obeying his commands every day. Get connected with other followers of Jesus in this community of faith that he created called the church. Don't procrastinate. Prepare. Let every heart prepare him room. Stand with me this morning as Chad comes to lead us in a closing hymn. I urge you, if you're a Christian today, grab on the way out there that little Advent reading guide. Tomorrow morning or evening, whenever you get alone with the Lord, sit down and take your Bible and begin to walk very slowly through the pages of Scripture. If you'll make the journey, Christmas will mean more to you than it ever has. Amen? But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, listen to me. Don't leave this room without fixing this today. I'm going to be honest with you. I know that you can get saved at home. I tell people that every Sunday. If you don't come to this altar, by all means, get alone with God and pray until you find salvation. By all means, do that. But I want to tell you today, at the risk of panicking you or the risk of making you a little afraid, don't procrastinate. Prepare. Preacher, I don't understand why y'all make such a big deal about people coming down to the front of the building and getting this done in a Sunday morning service in front of God and everybody. Let me give you a couple reasons. It's easier for you to get right with God right now in this moment than it is in any other time. Why? Because you're in the atmosphere where your heart is stirred and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and he's got his hand on your shoulder and you're under the influence and the moving of the Holy Ghost in this service. God's people have worshipped and prayed, and the Spirit of God is here. I sense him and I feel him. He's in this house, and he's moving on your heart, and he's urging you to get ready. And it's easier to do that now while your heart is under the influence of the Holy Spirit here than it is. If you leave and walk out these doors, can I get saved this afternoon? I guess you could, but let me tell you what will happen. You'll walk out of here, and your mind will get on everything else. The devil will make sure of it. And you'll get distracted, and it'll be weeks, perhaps, before you ever think about your soul again. The devil has a way of distracting you and keeping you distracted until it's too late for you to get ready, too late for you to get right. So it's easier today in this atmosphere, under the sound of my voice, under the preaching of the gospel, with the church around you whispering prayers right now for you to come and get right with God. It's easier in this moment. Get right today. Let me tell you why it's easier secondly. Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Can't I just do this privately? You won't live it. You won't do it privately. If you really mean this, you'll do it publicly. If you really mean this, if you've really taken Jesus as your own, you'll publicly announce that. You'll find a way to do that. You'll come and kneel and pray. You'll come and profess your faith. You'll be baptized in water. You'll find a way to announce to the church, I have received Jesus as my Savior. I have trusted him. I am following him. I am pledging myself to be his disciple. I belong to him. You'll find a way to make that public. Jesus tells us to do that. He tells us that we are to publicly proclaim our faith in him. That's his word, not mine. Why do we do that? Well, it's a great thing for you. And number two, it'll make you accountable. Because you see, if you come down here and stand in front of God and everybody and say, I'm going to follow Jesus, then that means there's some people who saw that. And they're going to do two things. Number one, they're going to hold you accountable. They're going to call you and check on you when you go missing. They're going to make sure that you're living out your faith. But more importantly than that, let me tell you what they're going to do. They're going to encourage you. You can't do this by yourself. The reason we don't just get saved by ourselves and stay off by ourselves is because we can't do it. We can't run this race alone. Listen, this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. And you need a cross-country team to run this race, child of God. You need a Christian family who walk with you. You need the people of God. So what do, Pastor? You come and you kneel and you invite Jesus into your heart. You ask Him to forgive your sin. You ask Him to give you a heart that's ready for the coming of the Lord. And you publicly declare before God's people, I have chosen Jesus. I have pledged myself to Him as His disciple. I'm going to follow and obey Him to the best of my ability. Church, will you pray for me? Will you support me in my commitment to do this? That's what you say by coming. Do it today. Don't procrastinate. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. Is that the message of Christmas? You better believe it is. All kind of people missed the first coming of Jesus. Is it really that bad? Oh, yes. There's a whole group of people called the Pharisees. They never did recognize who He really was. And if they did recognize it, they didn't receive it. They rejected it. And that whole generation basically missed out. But there were a few people who realized who He was, and they opened their heart and they received Him. The same is true today. The world at large will miss Christmas and they'll miss Jesus. Are you going to miss Him too? Are you going to be like the rest? Or are you going to be one of those chosen few who respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit today, and you prepare your heart to let Jesus come in? You see, we talk about the coming of Jesus at Christmas and the coming of Jesus in the clouds of glory, but there's another coming that has to happen. He has to come in your life. He has to come in your heart. He has to be born not in a manger, but inside of your spirit. You have to receive Him into your heart. Have you received the King of glory? Has the door of your heart lifted up that the King may come in? Have you invited Him into your life? Have you trusted Jesus? Let every heart prepare Him room. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray today that if there's one in the house who needs to come, while we sing a closing song celebrating Your coming, You would invite them and You would draw them by Your Spirit, and we would meet them here to introduce them to their Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. The altar's open. Let's sing to the Lord this morning.
Thou long expected Jesus, born to set Thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our strength and consolation, hope of all the earth Thou art, deep desire of every nation, joy.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, my heart is not right with the Lord, pray for me during this Advent season. I've not trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I've been on the edges of this thing for a long time, and I've heard about Christ, and I know basically the storyline, and I think I understand what the claims are, but I have never really committed myself to Jesus. If I've considered myself a Christian at all, it's been rather a loose connection to the faith, but not the kind of thing you're talking about, where I've believed on Him and trusted Him, and I've asked Him to come live in me, and I've surrendered my life to Him, and I've committed to follow His ways. Nothing like that's ever happened for me. Pastor, pray for me. I do sense something stirring in me. Something's not right, and I want you to pray for me, preacher, that during the season, the Holy Spirit will keep dealing with me, and that I will get my questions answered, and that God will continue to work in my heart as He draws me to Himself. Are you here this morning? Just being honest and say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not there yet, but I definitely sense God doing something in my heart this Advent, and I'm investigating, I'm curious about the claims of Jesus, and I want to know more about how to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me during this season. Something's happening in my heart. You hear? Just ask Him the question. Lift your hand, say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you today. Others? Just being honest with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, there was a season of my life that I walked with the Lord and I was a Christian and I was plugged in. But something happened. Something in life happened to me and I got off track and I lost my relationship and I have not walked with Jesus in some time. And again, I believe this, but it's just not been reality for me for a while. I've not lived on the right side of the Lord's coming and I certainly wouldn't profess that I'm ready for Him to show up today and for me to meet Him. And yeah, Pastor, that gives me pause. That bothers me, and I sense the Holy Spirit working in my heart and stirring me that I need to get ready and I need to prepare. Are you here today? And would be honest enough to say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone, just taking a moment to be honest with the Lord. Thank you today. I see that hand. Thank you. Another hand. Any others? Just being honest. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is between you and the Lord. I just want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're here today, and you're like, I think many of us in the room, and you say, Pastor, as far as I know my own heart, I'm ready for the coming of the Lord. But Pastor, I've got very dear people in my life that are not. And I want you to pray with me this Advent season that the Holy Spirit will do something. Christmas is a tender time. People slow down and think about Jesus, at least for a little while. Pastor, will you pray with me that during this season, my family would slow down and the Holy Spirit would put Jesus on their radar screen and that this would be the season that they come to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus? Can I pray with you today and agree with you in prayer? Thank you. All over the room. Yeah. 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 Loved ones, family members, close friends. Yeah. Let's lift our hearts up to the Lord before we close today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we, your people, long for you to come again. We love you. We are anxious for your appearing. We can't wait for the day when the kingdom of God comes in its fullness and you set right everything that's wrong. Lord, to be honest with you, the only thing that makes us pause at all is this last thing that we're talking about. Lord, some of us have loved ones that are not prepared for the coming of Jesus. And that's the only thing that causes our hearts to say, Lord, in your mercy, would you tarry just a little longer? In your long suffering, would you wait just a while? Not because we're not ready, not because we don't want you to come, but Lord, we want our friends and loved ones to be in the ark of safety. We want them to be saved. We want them to have responded to the message. We want to know that they are going to join us in the kingdom of God and not be part of that group of rebels that are excluded by their sin and their persistence in being their own God. Lord, help us today. I pray that God, you would move in the hearts of our loved ones. We lift them up to you today. We pray that you'd move in their hearts this Christmas season and that during this holy time, the Spirit of God would grip them, that something would happen, something would be said or sung or presented to them that would cause them to think deeply about Jesus this holiday season. And their hearts would open to the gospel and that, Lord, you'd bring them into the kingdom of God. We pray this Advent will be a season of men and women being saved and coming to know you, of backsliders being restored to you, Jesus, of prodigal sons and daughters coming home to you. Lord, we pray for that in this house today. Father, I pray for those who lifted their hand and say, Pastor, I once knew the Lord, but I'm not ready. I'm walking on the wrong side of that today. I pray that today they would, during this Advent season, get alone and sweep out their own heart and confess their sin and come running back to you. And that, Lord, we would notice them here from now on, part of your faithful family, walking with you, Jesus. Lord, we won't embarrass them. We won't ask them to come make a spectacle of themselves. Lord, we just ask that they quietly, humbly repent of their sin, get their heart right with God, and come back into the fellowship of your people and start walking with us again so they can pick up where they left off. And Father, finally, I pray for those in this room who lifted their hand and say, Pastor, I've never really trusted Him, never really trusted Him, never really surrendered everything to Him, never really been a Christian. I pray today that, Holy Spirit, you would keep working on them. I pray that you would keep drawing and wooing and convicting, and that you would call them unto salvation. And that during these Sundays, as we walk together, they would come to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And they would come to know you. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. Let every heart prepare Him room. That's what we're doing this Advent. Amen. Amen. Receive this blessing from the Lord. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus and the love of God our Father and may the fellowship of the sweet Holy Spirit be with us and remain among us throughout this week and this season in Jesus' name. And God's people said, Amen. No evening service, 2 o'clock practice for the kids. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to our podcast at the Hill. We pray that you are blessed by this message. For more information on what's happening at The Hill and to stay connected, visit our website at ForestHillCOG.org, join our Facebook page, facebook.com/ForestHillCOG, or download our app from the iTunes or Google Play Store.